You're on the Mike and Abe show. Mike.
Yes.
What's
We
new?
are we are the Mike and Abe show, by God. So, well, what's new is everything is once again, I can't say this enough. I'm so sick and tired of these whining crybabies saying, "Oh, these no business. I drive a cab, just so you know." And you still got a cab on the road, so you can see the numbers, and I can see the numbers. And I don't know what planet these guys are on, but I call it the pity party. And we have to really, maybe it's bad negotiating, but we have to say when it's good and when it's bad. It was bad for a couple of years. Now it's getting better. But instead of saying that, these people, I guess it's just part of their little, you know, negotiating ploys to say it's always horrible, always horrible. That keeps drivers out. That keeps investors out. That keeps banks wary of lending money. So when it's good, you got to say it's getting better. You can't keep saying it's bad, bad, bad. Even when it's good, you got to say it's good, in my opinion. What do you think?
I think it's good.
the rant or the cab?
Well, the rant is good. I see you. You are on the pages of the Taxi Insider this month.
Yes, my my words of dare I say, wisdom and observations. Oh, and you got the new issue up. I see the Dave's smiling face.
Mm-hmm.
The Taxi Insider's up there.
I think it's
and
time.
Pretty much, I am.
I think it's time for him to take a new picture.
Yeah, it's well, maybe it stays up there for like 20 years. He's got the fountain of youth. Maybe that's his fountain
yeah.
of youth picture.
Yeah, no offense, Dave. You know, we I'm not saying you're not good looking, but who's that guy behind you? You know, I mean, how did that guy get into the picture?
I mean, the guy with like the eyeball sticking out.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's like half a face. So I don't know if that's artistic license or what, but it's a little strange, I must say.
It's the artistic face, you know. Mike, what can I say?
I'm Mike.
You're Mike. I'm Abe. Mike. You know, you're Mike. We're on the mic.
Right.
We're on the mic. Okay.
And I have a nom de plume in this issue on page 4 of Dave's paper as JFK Mike. That's me.
Yes.
Wear many hats, my friend.
Yes.
So I was just talking about LaGuardia and how the TLC keeps dancing around paying the yellow cab drivers a proper wage and letting the medallion owners get fare increases intermittently to support extra business expenses. It just seems like they're hell-bent on keeping the cabbies poor and the medallion owners poor. And instead of compensating owners and drivers to bring us up with cost of living increases, they would rather get the dregs off the streets, lower the hack license standards. And, Abe, I got to tell you, I see a lot of just wackos who have gotten new hack licenses because the TLC has allowed them just to walk in versus getting higher licensing standards. And now we have like 55,000 taxi license for drivers for just 14,000 cabs. And I think they should first and foremost make sure the drivers make money, make sure the owners can run cabs. But instead of that, they listen to Uber, who tells the Uber runs the TLC. And this is what's sickening these days.
Well, you know, I've told you this before, and I'll tell you it again. The industry needed to get the cars back on the street, and if they had to just go a step lower for the drivers, okay. Now let's be realistic here, okay. 99% of the drivers on our cabs are great.
Right.
Okay, I mean,
maybe a little less than 95%.
As long as I've been in this business, there has been complainers. Okay, I mean, even back in the 1970s, when half the cabs were on radio call and three quarters of the people couldn't get a cab. Okay.
Right.
Okay, right. They were complaining that they couldn't find any business.
Well, like I said, right now they had situation where they had 40,000 or 50,000 taxi driver licenses already approved. You know, if you throw money at the cabbies, they'll come back. If the cabbies aren't making money, they'll go away. And I think there was some conspiracy in the background to keep the medallion business jumping through hoops with rules and regulations and new inventions and gizmos and test pilots and all this crap and no fare increase so that people get disgusted and just walk away. So that might be some evil genius in the background there. And I think we have to start looking at that as well.
All right, Mike. So tell me, what kind of a week has it been for you?
It's been pretty good. I mean, I'm not like super cabby by any stretch of the imagination, but it was consistent. Kennedy was very busy. And when I gave the car to the weekend driver, LaGuardia was very busy, was stripped, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that says not only is it busy, but the fare's too cheap that we're giving away the store. And we have to really start staying in touch with the market. So, but the airports were very busy. People are coming in. People are flying again. So that is good news. And we shall see. But we have to keep this business strong now that it's back. We learned our lesson, and I hope the Neanderthals who have driven this business into the ground, they just got to get them out of the business. They're horrible. We have some people who shouldn't even be in the business.
What's the price of regular gas in New York now?
Well, that's the thing. There used to be a ratio where I know when it was $120 a barrel, the price of gasoline was $4.
Right.
So now it's about $55 a barrel.
No, actually, it's less. It's more like 40 because I've been listening to Fox Business Channel on Sirius Radio. Okay, and there's a guy on there in the morning called I forget his name. Okay, he's on from 9 to 12. Okay, and he's always going over these things, the price of oil. Okay. Right now it's in the 40s, and T. Boone Pickens was on, okay, and he's predicting that it's going to go up to by the end of the year it'll be $50 or $60 a barrel, okay. So continue with your rationale of what you were saying.
Well, there was a ratio. There was a ratio of, let's say, if it's $120 a barrel, then it would be $4 a gallon, or what about to like 3%? 3% of the barrel was the price of gas, okay,
mm-hmm.
for a gallon of gas.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you said the barrel has dropped down to $45 a gallon. Strike that, $45 a barrel.
Yeah, or even lower. It was actually, I think, in the 20s at one point when gas was selling where I am for as low as $1.85 for regular. Okay.
Wow. Because I know.
Yeah.
It's all right. So let me just finish this one. So if it's $120 a barrel, and we were paying $4 a gallon, so now if it's argument's sake, I saw the other day $45 a barrel.
Right.
Then theoretically it should be $1.35 a gallon. But in New York, we're seeing a lot of $2.75, $2.85, $3 a gallon, and it's all over the city. So I'm saying, how is it every single gas station is getting around $3 a gallon? When all things being equal, it should be like $1.50 a gallon.
Well,
I don't know if they're investigating or what.
Well, you know, there's a lot of abuse in that industry, okay? And and down here in the southern portion of the United States, in my secret hideaway, okay?
Right.
Gas is
in your bunker.
In my bunker, right? It had gone down as low as, actually, it went down to $1.75 a gallon, and that was two, 3 months ago, and now it's up to 215 to 225 a gallon.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, that's which it's still cheap.
It's still a lot cheaper than $4, you know. But what I'm saying is that
go ahead.
What I'm saying is that the price of gas is such that, you know, you should be putting a little bit more money in your pocket than when you were paying $4 a gallon.
Right.
Right.
Uh-huh. Well, theoretically.
Well,
I mean, just the fact of the matter is there are expenses, and I think the taxi commission should indeed start making sure drivers stay in the business. Because now I see with Uber and Lyft, they have group riding, they have dispatching, and all this stuff that the yellow cab should have first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
And we wind up just running like a souvlaki wagon. Now we're just like street vendors running a souvlaki wagon. And the apps, I don't know what happened to all these wonderful apps that are now like non-existent. So, like I said, it's a mixed bag. And I really hope and pray that the people who started the app process for yellow cabs will maintain their enthusiasm, because I think a lot of these fleet people, once the cabs get out of the lot, they don't care. That's all they want to do, just get the cabs out, period.
Well, if they get out, they make money. That's the bottom line. Apps or no apps, those yellow cabs get on the street, people use them.
Well, people use them, but I mean, they were incentivized to create an app process for the cabbies because the cabs weren't getting out. And like, my dread fear is that that'll stop dead in its tracks, because some of these guys are just like cavemen. The cabs are out, we don't got to do nothing. And they won't get into like positive innovation. And the other thing, like I said, we have to look into is the taxi commission, with these rules and regulations and everything aimed at yellow cabs just for publicity and test pilots and all this stuff, that it's an unfair competitive advantage for the other sectors of the industry against yellow cabs, because we have to do all this stuff with wheelchairs and surcharges and new cars and hybrid cars and taxi classes. Nobody else is doing anything. And I think it's just because they love to get publicity, and the yellow cab is a express track to get publicity. So I don't know. I'm just fed up with the bureaucracy involved, where it used to be you just go out and drive a cab. They don't want us to do that anymore.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you spoken to any drivers that are driving the wheelchair accessible taxis?
Well, this is the other thing with the cab drivers. They complain right and left when they're not making money. But now I think the money is coming into the wheelchair accessible program, so the cabbies who have those cars aren't saying anything.
In other words, it's too good to talk about.
Right. Like, one guy was complaining. He goes, the fleet guy, he sent out a guy in a wheelchair. He goes, how much are you making? He goes, I'm not making that much more money. Maybe nothing. Maybe another $150, $200 a month. It's like, okay. So you're making another $150 or $200 a month. What's the problem with that? That's like getting another day, an extra day in your life paid. So, I mean, it's like, what do you think? You're going to go around the corner and make $5,000 a month from wheelchair people? It's like, no, if you make another, let's say $200, $250, and you don't lose time doing it and you keep the program going, that's good. But these guys always cry, but then when something good happens, they say nothing. They say nothing because I think they're just, you know, they want to, like, keep all the money for themselves. But who knows, man? I mean, it's very frustrating with these guys. They're crazy.
Yeah, well, they were hoping that they would hit the lotto, you know, with the wheelchair cabs. I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
But all right, Mike. So tell me some more. I mean, ask me some questions. You know, this is a two-way street here. Okay.
Okay. Well, yes, it is. I just want to remind everybody, it is the Mike and Abe show. So Abe is here.
I'm here.
You know, I didn't.
I'm here. I'm here. I have 42 years experience from behind the wheel of a yellow taxi, and I'm glad to say that I have finally been able to stop driving. Okay. Mm-hmm. But, you know, do I miss it? Yes, in some ways. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Well, what was your worst fare?
My worst fare. I'll tell you what one of my worst fears was, and this happened early on a Sunday morning, okay? Yeah. Look, my worst fear ever was the time somebody put a knife to my neck, all right? And took all my money and my taxi, okay? But that's a story I want to save for another time, okay? But early on a Sunday morning, and this happened, I know it was in September, okay? And I would say it was about 2009, 2010, okay?
Right.
I picked up a girl on 90th and Broadway, okay? I was actually cruising on the uptown side of Broadway, okay? Because early Sunday mornings, you know, if you're out there at 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, it's not easy to find fares at that hour, because a lot of people are sleeping. But there's still people out there. So I was actually cruising up to Harlem, okay?
Sure.
Because there are a lot of people that go to church on Sunday mornings in Harlem, okay? Sure. And believe it or not, that was a good place to be, All right. I mean,
Yeah,
you know, and they talk about, and I hope Al Roker's listening to this. Okay. All right.
you can't
Okay.
be snitch.
I tell you, I see Al Roker on TV now. I get sick. You know, I go, you know, how could he have done what he did? Okay. You know, with, you know, convict this guy in his head with no trial or no nothing. Okay. Blame him of being a racist. He never met the guy in his life. Okay, he has no idea what happened. Okay, but that's another story. Okay, I was cruising up to Harlem. Okay, because I wanted to work in Harlem, but I got stopped on 90th Street and Broadway by a Caucasian girl. Okay, probably in 40-ish, I would say her age. Right, she was wearing shorts. Okay, and she had this brown stuff on her legs. And I didn't understand what was I didn't I mean I sort of noticed her legs had this brownish color right on them right and she got in and I took one whiff and I knew exactly what happened. Would you care to take
No.
a guess? Well, she was obviously out running, doing her morning run, and she got the morning runs.
She had
Okay,
a morning run, doing a
she
morning
got
run.
the morning runs, and we were only going like to 96th Street, somewhere over there, like Riverside Drive, you know, where she would get out of the cab, throw me a $5 bill, right? And I said to myself, I hope it's not on the back seat, right? And I took a look around, and I went around to the side, you know, looked in the back seat after she was gone, and yes, it was on the back seat. Okay. Okay. And thankfully, my other driver used to leave towels in the taxi, right? So I took one of the towels and I wiped it up the best I could. All right. And boy, did it smell, right? And I said to myself, I got to get to the car wash, right? And I threw the towel in after wiping it up, I threw it in a sanitation basket, right? And before I could get to the car wash, suddenly it got busy. And
Oh,
so I picked up a few fares, okay? And
man.
you know, they didn't say anything, okay? You know, this I guess it still smelled somewhat, right? And when I got to the car wash, I had to spend $25 for this guy to go into the back and really clean it out good. Okay.
You should have put a note in the window saying it's not me, you
No,
know.
well, you know, I don't think it matters who it was. All right. What can I say, Mike?
Matt, when I ask you for a worse story, well, you don't fool around. You really is like, you know, that's you got me beat by a mile, bro. But I guess that's the way it goes. Good gosh! So, and this is like a normal looking woman who's just a runner. Oh man, oh yeah. I always wonder what those runners do in those races. I guess if you're in the lead. And you got to go. You got to. I guess you just let it go. I mean, you know,
Well,
I don't think
you
I'd think.
look, Mike, I'm going to tell you something. Driving a taxi in New York can be a very miserable experience sometimes. Okay? I mean, just for myself, I mean, there have been times where I couldn't find a bathroom in time. Okay? And we've talked about this in the past. Okay? And you know, I cannot believe that the city of New York has not addressed this problem for the taxi drivers ever. You know, no matter how much we make them aware of it. Okay.
No, you know, I always wonder about that because I drive at night and I can jump into places and jump out of places fairly easy. But when you drive in the daytime, I don't know what these poor guys do. It's just
Well,
a disaster.
it is a disaster, and I've had a few disastrous experiences, okay?
Oh,
Like being stuck on
man.
the, I remember one time I was stuck on the 59th Street Bridge, and
Right.
you know, my lower intestines were telling me, you have no more time. Okay, this is it. You cannot control it anymore. All right? And you know, I don't have to get into details here, all right? You know, I mean, the next thing you do is when you finally drop off your passenger, is you look, you got to go home, or you got to go somewhere where you could clean yourself up and change your clothing.
Right.
Okay.
Oh my God! And it hasn't changed in years. I mean, they have
no,
yet to
it's
do
been, no. Nobody's ever addressed this problem. You know, I've written about it many times.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I a couple of times I did have like a bathroom kiosk set up, and what happens invariably is the homeless guys start sleeping inside the bathrooms. I mean, they'll pay for like the right to go in there,
mm-hmm.
and then they use it as like a nap room. And since they're I guess we're all working for these nuts on the street, because the police are afraid of locking them up, because there's always some goofball judge in the mix who's going to turn them loose, and they're going to sue the city for, you violated my rights because I can't sleep in the public bathroom. So, which is the next thing. Now we get the whole bathroom controversy with North Carolina. I don't know if that's kind of like a third rail deal for Mike and
Well, you know, there's a simple solution to that problem. Okay?
So what?
A simple solution to that problem. Okay?
Diapers?
No. I mean, to the North Carolina thing where, you know, they don't know who's what sex or whatever goes into what bathroom.
Right.
Why do you have to separate the sexes in bathrooms if you're just going to put stalls in there? Okay, where are you going to go in and close the door?
Right, this is what's going to happen. Eventually, it's probably going to be this is the who says you're paranoid thing. I think it's like the huge multi-billion-dollar corporations are afraid of getting sued. So they said, oh, no, everybody can use the bathroom. It doesn't matter anymore, because I think they were going to be put in a spot of having to put in a third bathroom for gender no preference. And instead of them paying to do that in their thousands of units and hotels, they just said, oh, no, well, everybody can know. They're trying to get their flunkies in government to force everybody to use bathrooms. I think it's crazy. You got a guy going into the bathroom with a little girl in there. That's a match to gasoline. That's going to be a problem.
Well, no little girl should go into a bathroom without a parent.
All right, so a little girl and her mom goes into a parent, and the guy comes in. What happens?
Well, if you just have, excuse me, but if you just have stalls, okay, where you go in and close the door, what's the difference?
Well, I guess they don't have stalls now. Right now, they just have the basic bathrooms. And before that is reconfigured to do that, they're just saying, well, anybody can use the bathroom and the showers, by the way, in the gyms. There's like you can just walk into a ladies' room and say, you know, I identify as a woman because I have to take a shower. Every time I take a shower, I identify as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And you just walk into the shower and start showering with women.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, that's a little strange.
All right, Mike, let's get back to taxi cabs. Okay. All right. You know, I mean, enough with the bathrooms, all right, and the showers. And, you know, next thing we'll be talking about sponge baths, you know.
Well, I mean, there's a time and place for a sponge.
Yeah, I know.
So,
I know.
So the next show.
I know. So what do you think, Mike? Where are we headed with this taxi industry?
I think it's doing a lot better. And I think we had a scare with this whole Uber nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And internally there is a different philosophy with the cab business of, I'll call them the dinosaurs who just want to get their cars out and they could care less. Once the cars don't go out, they're going to look to find a way to do it. It's like a landlord. You're not going to paint the apartment if you got 10 people want to rent it for your price. So they're not going to do any innovation until they get forced to do something, which happened with the Uber fiasco. And I'm just worried in that the least part of the equation, and it's such a common sense thing to do, is to make sure the drivers are treated fairly and to make sure the drivers make a buck and make sure the taxi owners don't have these draconian rules being shoved down their throats for no reason at all, and make sure everybody has the same playing field. I think that should be definitely top priority, because right now you had the only reason Uber succeeded is because they didn't have the rules that the yellow cab drivers did. And you're the first guy to mention that.
Well, yeah. You know, they made their own rules. Okay.
Right. They made their own rules.
Yeah.
What is, you researched this right and left. What are some of the rules that you see with Uber where they don't have to do stuff that we have to do, for example?
Well, I think the biggest how should I say the biggest rule that Uber is breaking is that they're using the app to or that the TLC doesn't recognize or they're refusing to recognize is the fact that they are using the app to steal street hails.
Yes.
Okay, and
Yes.
that's the thing, and that's the thing that's just that is detrimental to our business, okay? Because we have, by law, the exclusive right to pick up street hails, and it doesn't matter whether you wave your arm, right, shake your foot, get on your cell phone and tap an app. You're on the street, and you want taxi service. That's a street hail, okay? And the fact that the Taxi and Limousine Commission refuses to recognize this, okay, I mean, what part of street hail do they not understand? That's what I want to know, okay? Prearrangement is when you're sitting in your office, when you're sitting in your office, and it's 2 o'clock and you got to make a 3 o'clock plane, and you need a car to be waiting for you at 2:30 outside your door. That's prearrangement, okay?
Yes.
But once you walk out onto the street and you're looking for a car, that's on demand, okay?
Well, I got news for you. Here's what happened to me last week. I just finished dropping someone off. I was very busy at the rush hour, and it was a guy on York Avenue in like 82nd Street or 83rd Street, looking for a cab northbound. So he's got a suitcase. And he's looking for a cab, he's hailing, and he's northbound. And I'm kind of like 2 blocks away, and I see him, and I don't see any other cabs. And you know me, I love JFK. So the guy had JFK written all over him.
Right.
So out of nowhere, a black Camry swings a U-turn. The guy jumps out, walks up to the guy, and says, just push your phone. The guy goes, what? He goes, do you have Uber? You can push. Because I see the conversation. He
Right.
tells the guy to push his phone. The guy takes his phone out, pushes the Uber app. The guy who's like standing 5 feet away from him responds to it like in a nanosecond, and he picks up the guy and he gets an Uber job. Now that's a street hail.
Yes,
I don't know what
sir.
these idiots are
Yes,
talking
sir.
about,
That
you
is a
know.
street hail, okay? That's precisely the main rule that Uber is not abiding by, okay? Or I don't even want to call it a rule. I'm going to call it a law, because it's in Title 19 of the New York City Code, okay? Okay, which specifically states that the only cars that are allowed to pick up people on the street for service for hire service are taxi cabs. Okay, all right. You can read it. You can read it. I have a link on NYC Taxi News right on the front page menu. Okay, you can read all the laws of Title 19. Okay, all the provisions. Okay, and that is a street hail, and that is what we have to keep fighting for. Okay.
Yes. Well, this is a double cross. This is why anybody listening to the show who doesn't know anything about this business.
Yeah.
This is why the yellow cabbies are pissed off, because the city of New York passed a law to say that yellow cabs would be guaranteed the exclusive right to pick up street hails from prospective passengers. That's in the law. And I'm not
Right,
just
right.
whining about it. That's the law. That's the law they passed. That's what they told us when we were buying medallions and getting taxi licenses. They said, don't worry, we're going to take care of it because it's the law. They're not
And
allowed to
they're going to
pick up
enforce
folks.
it.
Right.
Right.
But apparently there have been some snakes in the grass at City Hall who have allowed some rascals to come in and just basically BS the city council, who probably doesn't know anything about street hails or stuff like that, to BS them into thinking that these Uber guys are not picking up street hails. But the guy I saw the other day, that's it. I said, listen, now I really got to start telling these people that they're stealing jobs from cab drivers, and they don't have the volume to support themselves. So that's a big problem now. And it was exposed to me, as much as I've been ranting about it. It was exposed to me the other day because I had money stolen from me right in front of me from a guy who was working operating illegally. That's the end of that.
Okay, well, that's the main thing. And what you want to know what else? Let's see, what else does Uber do that yellow cabs don't have to do? Well, they ride around without a meter, without a taxi meter. Okay, or they use some sort of what they call algorithm. Okay. All right. They surge price. Okay. They literally rip off the public. Okay. Well, they say, well, they agreed to it on the app. The app said that we're into a double surge, right? And they have to agree to it. But when you're desperate for a car, it's like, take it or leave it, and what are you going to do? You get on the subway, you're going to wait for a bus. What are you going to do? Okay. I mean, you want a taxi at a reasonable rate. Okay. There's a reason. And let me tell you another thing, and we mentioned this last week, and we talked about the rates on the doors. Okay. Uber has nothing on the doors. No, or any of the TNCs. I don't want to just say Uber. It's Uber, Lyft, Get, all of the, they're all in on it. Okay, it's more than just Uber. Okay, and they
And
have nothing
the other
on the
thing is
doors.
they have
They have nothing on the doors. Okay,
no car,
nothing.
no car number. No car number. The
No,
company's holding them up.
and there's somebody in this industry who owns a lot of medallions and is leading the fight against them. Who I mentioned this to. I mentioned the fact that maybe the taxi should get the rates back on the doors, and he told me that what he would really like to see is the for hire vehicles, all of them have identifying marks on them, so that when they solicit people on the street, they could be identified.
Yes, I think that's an excellent idea because for whatever reason, they took the taxi rates off the sides of yellow cabs.
And that obviously, in my eyes, now that the cat is out of the bag, was intentionally done to bring on this outrageous attempt to put us out of business.
All right, now just back up now. We touched on that. We were talking about it off the air about a week ago, and you had a good point. They said the guy who's not there anymore, this guy Yasky, he became he was out of the used to be the taxi commissioner, now he's the whatever
He's
of Pace University.
a dean at Pace University, and he's also a consultant for Lyft.
For Lyft.
Yeah.
Okay, now the one of the last things he did was make up this like Fercocta logo on the side of taxi doors, where there's like a big, they took the rates off and they put as their logo a big, like, artsy fartsy T, but there's no rates on the door. I
No,
mean,
well,
people don't know how much it costs to get them
the
in.
T was there before they took the rates off the door. Okay, that was
Oh, what?
Matthew Dowse did that. Okay,
Okay.
but what Bieski did was he took the rates off the door and just put on a thing that says metered fare.
Right.
Okay, without saying how much the fare is. Okay, now
Which
when
we
you,
always had.
yeah, and I don't know about you, but when I go into a supermarket and I want to buy something, when I want to buy a steak, it's right there on the front of the package. It says this steak is costing you $6 a pound, and for this particular piece of meat, it's going to cost you $12, something like that. Okay, I mean, I'm just making up the numbers, but I can see loud and clear exactly what I'm going to pay for something. Okay, and if I don't know. If it's not marked, there are scanners in the store where Walmart, if you've ever been in Walmart, I know there's not many Walmarts in New York City, but Walmart's is all over the world, okay? And they have throughout the store, they have these scanners where if you don't see the price on something, all you have to do is hold the barcode up to it, okay? And it come and the price comes up, okay? So you don't go up to the register and suddenly, find out that the price of something is something outrageous that you don't want to pay. Okay, all right, and you're told in advance before you need to pay what it's going to cost you. Okay, therefore you're a consumer. This is a right of a consumer that you should know what you're going to pay before you hire the service or buy the product. Okay,
Right. And the other,
yeah,
go
and
ahead.
you don't know what you're going to pay for a taxi cab until after you've closed the door.
And I tell you, the other thing where this is a big problem is at the airport with these airport hustlers stealing passengers in the terminals, away from the legal yellow cabs waiting online. They tell these people anything. They tell them, it costs twice as much in yellow cab, which is a lie. But since there's no rate on the side of the yellow cab, they can just look out and see. They believe these morons floating around in the terminals. So that's another problem with this, because I mean, just basic cab stuff. And I don't know why they took the rates off. And especially with these Uber guys, there's no car numbers. So if
You
you see an
know,
Uber guy driving like a nut,
you know,
you see
Mike,
an Uber guy driving like a nut, you can't do anything.
you know what we should petition the Port Authority to do is post a sign at JFK at each terminal where people leave the airplanes that tells you the flat rate for a yellow cab to Manhattan.
Right. Well,
Okay?
I'll tell you, there's a lot of people stealing our business, and it's disgusting, and it's a big problem. So, well, what else on the agenda?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. You want to read some headlines? You know?
Well, yeah, I can't read though.
Well, I have. Well, you could go to the NYC Taxi News and look at the news headlines. Okay?
I could do that. Sounds like
I have them
since
in.
the doctor said I need
I
more
have them in front
exercise,
of me
go
right
up over
now.
there.
Okay?
Okay. All right, we'll walk together,
I think
I
the
say.
most I
All right,
think one of
goodbye.
the popular headlines, you can go over there, but I think one of the popular headlines of the last couple of days is Uber drivers rebuke attorney for settling class action suit.
Where am I? So I'm on the page right now, but where is that?
That is you're on the new the, you're on the media page, right?
Sorry.
Okay, that is look at today's date on the left, 5/14,
Yeah.
and go down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, you'll see Uber drivers rebuke attorney for settling class action suit.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay,
Yeah.
you know, she got 25 grand.
Right.
Okay, you know, they want to be declared employees. And she said, well,
Right.
it's too risky. Let's settle for 100 million. And she walked away with 25.
25 million?
Yes.
Whoa. So wait a second.
You
So
see,
she just like this one person sued a class action
yeah,
and
I forget her name. She's a lawyer. Okay,
Yeah.
she was leading the class action suit. Okay, her name is not important. It's just that she settled the case with Uber. Now it still has to be approved by a judge. The judge hasn't approved this yet. But the taxi drivers that she was representing, which are thousands of taxi drivers, you know, they're averaging less than $100 a piece of this class action suit. Okay,
Oh, jeez.
all right. You know,
So she's the big winner.
she
She's the
took
big
the
winner.
money and ran. Okay.
Oh, wow. So instead of like getting structural change, she just settled for like pennies on the dollar so she could get her little $25 million payout,
Right.
allegedly.
Right.
That's what they're saying.
Right.
Wow. You know, this is the problem. You got a lot of people suing people, and like whether it's waiters or cabbies or stuff, when the settlement hits on a class action, the lawyers get theirs, but a lot of the cabbies get pennies on the dollar. I mean, that's the problem with these class action suits. Everybody thinks it's going to be a big whoop-de-doo. Sometimes it's not. And I think some of our guys have fallen into this trap where they think they're going to go around suing people, and sometimes it doesn't work, you know? That's an interesting story. So the cabbies are mad at the lawyer because they're getting like, $1,000 and she's getting 25 million, or her firm is getting 25 million. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Now there's a couple of headlines this week, you know, where Uber, the people in Austin, Texas, voted that they want fingerprinting, and Uber and Lyft said, "Well, we're leaving." Okay.
Goodbye.
Yeah,
Goodbye.
but you know it's the old Uber game. You know we're leaving, but they're not working in Austin. They're working in the suburbs around Austin.
Are they sending cars in? Are they then they're going
We
to
don't
send
know
cars in?
that. We don't know that. But their game is they're waiting for the city hall in Austin to get on their hands and knees and go, "We want you back. We want you back." You know, but I don't
Right.
think it's going to happen in Austin, Texas. I think that they're standing still, you know, staying put on this
Right.
situation. Okay.
Well, I'll tell you the other thing I've seen on the streets now. I've seen a lot of fake Uber cars. I see a lot of like black SUVs and black cars and black cars. It's like a funeral. All these black cars in the streets. It's so depressing. But they don't have taxi limousine commission plates. They don't have any thing signifying they're a limousine. It's just some guy who's rented a black colored vehicle going around and picking up Uber fares. Because I've seen people getting into these cars, and I guess they don't check for the decals over the plates. But it's a new dirty little secret with our friends at Uber is that they have the phone, and the phone has no real attachment to the vehicle. So I guess they just drag the phone from a friend, rent a car, jump in, and go hustling off the street with an Uber phone. So the taxi commission really has some work to do. I don't know who's running
the
show
Well,
there,
well, let me remind you that a law has been passed and signed by the mayor increasing the fines for illegally picking up street hails, which these guys do when they can't get the Uber app, you know, to get them a fare, okay? $2,000 the first offense, $4,000 the second, and $10,000 within 10 years. $10,000 within 10 years for the third offense, okay?
Right.
And this law is not yet in effect because it doesn't go into effect for 90 days, okay?
Right.
Now, the law was passed. It's been about a month, okay? So we got two more months. And I believe it, that that's when the big enforcement thing will happen, okay? So these guys, you know, the word to the wise, you guys are going. You guys are finished.
Yeah.
All right. I hope.
Mm-hmm.
I hope. You know, what's the point of passing such a heavy penalty law without going after them? Okay. And there's a lot of money to be made. There's a lot of money to be made for the city treasury. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the state treasury, whoever gets the money. I mean, it should be the city mainly. Okay.
Right. Well, Abe, I got to tell you, it's just a constant battle. But I mean, the one thing that we have to keep in mind is the only reason they're attacking our business is because we have a very good business. I mean, we have they want to be competitors, but the city of New York signed off saying we should have exclusive rights. It's not us saying that. It's not competition. And this chairperson of the TLC says, like, we encourage competition. It's like, listen, sweetheart. You made competition illegal when you put a cap on the number of yellow cabs. So I don't know where she's getting her competition information from, but it's in the city charter since 1937 that we would be guaranteed we would not have competition for street hails.
Well,
the
competition, you know, there is competition. The competition is within the law of the yellow cabs. The cabs compete with each other. Okay,
right.
How many times have you rode down the street and seen a fare and another cab sees it and he doesn't get it because you got it? He's competing with you. Okay?
Right.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, if one guy doesn't know how to look for fares as well as you do, you're gonna do better than him. Okay?
Yeah.
But the competition is within the industry. Okay? Within
mm-hmm.
within the law. And other competition, you know, black cars and other FHVs, they compete by doing prearranged work. Okay? That's
mm-hmm.
competition. Okay? If there was no
right.
prearranged work, then everybody would have to go down in the street and hail a yellow cab when they needed a taxi. Okay? So
right.
there is provisions for competition in that sense. That you can call a taxi in advance by calling one of these four hire vehicles. Okay?
Right.
All right? You know, what they need to do is redefine what competition is. All right? Not
mm-hmm.
not people, you know, other vehicles breaking the law, you know, is not competition. The law says that the yellow taxis, the medallion taxis, the hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars that these taxis paid for, okay,
yeah.
you know, is a law. You sold it. The city of New York sold millions and millions of dollars worth of medallions, okay, and in Miami,
yeah.
in Miami where Uber has become legal, right? The taxi industry is now suing the city for $3 billion.
$3 billion.
Yes. Because
Now
they all paid for medallions,
the
and Uber's getting it for free.
Well, this is the other little thing that they avoided talking about with Mayor de Blasio and Cuomo and all these knuckleheads we have running the state. God knows how they got elected, but that's another show for another time. The city of New York was all set to just have an auction to sell 1,000 taxi medallions for New York City for $1 million apiece 2 years ago. They're ready to go.
Yeah,
the
well,
those
medallions
people
are still on the table, okay? And
well,
they
nobody wants to buy them.
Well, not right now.
Right.
Okay.
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
The other thing besides selling the medallions, they were going to get annual fees and fines and revenue. So not only would it just be a medallion sale, it would have been a steady stream of revenue for the city of New York. And now they sold out to this Forcocta Uber mess and these other Lyft and all these guys, and they just blew off a billion, let's say $2 or $3 billion for stupidity. And you say to yourself, I guess a lot of people who are politicians, they've never run a business. They've never sold hot dogs, let alone running a business. So they get in there and they listen to the lobbyists from Uber that come up and say blah, blah, blah. And they just get brainwashed. And now they look at the math, and the math isn't there, and it's a big mess. That's where we are right now.
Okay, well, let's hope it all gets straightened out, Mike. Mike, it's been a good show. We're running overtime now, okay?
Oh, we are?
Yeah, okay. Oh, you know, we go quick, you know? And, you know, I want to wish everybody out there, you know, good luck and make some money. And, you know, all the cabs are out on the street pretty much, right, Mike?
Yes.
Okay, so
they're getting the big days out. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, when they, like I said before, they tried to kill us, but they can't. Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Yeah.
We're indestructible.
Right.
Okay.
We had a good couple of months, so it's glad to see it coming back.
Yeah. All right, Mike. Let's wrap it up and say good night. Okay, or good afternoon, or whatever it is. All right.
And we want to thank our fans for listening and to the show on this website and for being fans. We have fans. We have people reading Dave's online paper that's on the site.
Yeah.
We have people listening to our show on the site. So they're really rocking
and
rolling.
And Dave has been off the air for a couple of weeks because of the Mets. Okay. And
because of the Mets.
Yeah. And I just want to say this. The Met game tomorrow in Colorado doesn't start until 4 p.m. So I hope, I'm wishing Dave luck that he gets on the air tomorrow night.
What time does it start?
It's a 4 p.m. start.
Oh, man.
Okay.
4 p.m. start.
Yeah, so, you know, these games go three and a half hours sometimes. If that happens,
right.
I think Dave is going to be off for a third week in a row. But I won't say that for sure. Okay? It is Saturday night now. We're doing this show. Okay? And I'm gonna post this show tomorrow morning, Sunday morning. Okay, so
right.
Those listening Sunday afternoon, you know, we're talking about now. Okay, all right,
got it.
All right, good night, Mike.
Good night, Abe. Listen, great show. Thanks for all the great work you're doing. You're a great guy.
Okay,
we appreciate it.
Okay,
thanks, brother.
I'll talk to you later.
Bye. See you later. Bye.
Bye.